In every age, there is a time when a specific message to the people of God has special significance and potency. Hallelujah. In the time of Moses, when the children of Israel were under bondage in Egypt, they longed to hear one message, the message of the deliverer. In every age, there is a message. In this age, there is one message at this specific time, more momentous than anything else. I mean, we need the other things. But I'm saying that this message is the most momentous of all the messages. And this is the coming of Jesus Christ to his temple. Hallelujah. If you notice, I said the coming of Jesus Christ to his temple. Not just the coming of Jesus, but the coming of Jesus Christ to his temple. Hallelujah. For we as a people have no other hope. Our hope is in Zion. Our hope is in the fact that God Almighty saw it in his providential love to create a Zion for our time. Hallelujah. You understand? In the days, let me get you back there. In the days when Israel was compassed about with armies of the aliens, the Philistines on the one hand, and all the Moabites and the Syrians on the other hand, and all around them were enemies. And they were always attacking Israel and destroying Israel. God created as a type and a symbol a man named David. Amen. In this man named David was the hope of Israel. Yes. Hallelujah. And God put the man named David to live on a little hill in the center of Jerusalem called Zion. Hallelujah. Then God gave him 300 mighty men. And these men did not have just natural might, but they had supernatural might. If you read about David's mighty men, it is more by far more fantastic than Superman. Amen. Yes, it is by far more fantastic than Superman. One of David's mighty men, one day, 300 Philistines decided to attack him and to kill him. And he was there alone. And he stood up with his sword in his hand. And the Bible said from the rising of the sun to the going down in the evening, he was fighting. And he killed 300 men. And in the evening, his fingers fastened to the sword. They had to pry it open. Now tell me about that. Another one, there was a lion down in a pit, a hungry lion, and this lion was mad, and this man went down in a pit with a staff in his hand and slew the lion. Now, he didn't carry a sword. That was rather provoking. He went down with a staff in his hand and he slew the lion. And all these things God puts in the Bible that we, the sons of God, in the end time might understand what it means to be the son of a supernatural God. You see what I'm dealing with? Now, so we are looking forward to victory, but we are not looking to a natural victory. We must never, never count numbers with God. We must never say, oh, it's only a few people. So because we are only a few, look at the others over there. Oh, they have the big crowds. Praise God for the big crowds. But praise God just a little more for the few. For Zion was never a crowd. There were always few men that defeated the many men. Praise be to God. Now, tonight, as God lays this word on my heart, I want you to walk with me through your Bible. Get into Haggai first. And take chapter 2 and verses 6 to 9. And here we are going to read up the messenger coming to his temple. I might as well explain a little thing here. In our old theology, as we learned it in the past, we saw Jesus Christ coming to the world, standing up in the air, beckoning to his saints, and his saints floating up out of motor cars, leaving the cars to crash, and a worldwide disaster that would kill millions and millions of people just by Christians leaving airplanes unattended, cars unattended, boats unattended, and everything would be crashing because Christians would suddenly, in the middle of traffic, take off on the San Diego Highway or somewhere around and leave these many cars rushing on, grinding into other cars without drivers. This is a picture that our theology taught us, and that these brethren were going up to another planet or just to float around in space with Jesus for 7 years, and that the reason for this flotation was that God wanted to burn up the earth so that while they were away, God would let loose a fire in the earth and burn up the whole earth and kill everybody on the earth. And then, after the earth was well cooled, we would come back down and reign and rule over them. No. I must have made a mistake there. Did I say they were going to burn up everything? Leaving neither root nor branch. Well, it seems that there would be nothing to rule over. And that everybody would be supernatural and already come forth in the nature of Christ. So therefore, there wouldn't be anything to rule over. Well, something must be wrong right there. But I think we'll have to go into it, right? Well, this is the form of theology which had so many holes that it could not hold water. But God began to speak to us and to show us that these thoughts were men's thoughts, but that involved in these thoughts there is the truth. And the truth is Christ. So we began to listen to God. And then we heard that Jesus Christ would come in a secret coming as a thief in the night but inside of his saints. So that the man sitting beside you would look on your face and he would see you look the same as you did the day before, and he would not know that Jesus Christ had come forth in you. And so it is a secret coming, and this is the reason why we are admonished to watch. Watch, I say unto you, watch. You remember that admonition? We're going to read about it. And so then the next thing would happen is that Jesus Christ would come in the natural. But he would not come in the natural until you, who now are coming forth in the full nature of God, would bring peace and deliverance on earth. That's Zion we're talking about. That's what we mean by Zion. So this Zion company is the hope of the world. For in that there is a company of people who are faithful to God. In that, God will not smite the earth with a curse, because there is a people who are submitting their kingdom to God. In that, the king is coming inside of his temple. There is hope for the earth. Hallelujah. I'm outlining the situation before we start going into it. All right. So a while ago we sang what was that song you raised there, Mavis? All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Jesus said there is a way to become a king. There is a way to become a king. There is only one way in which you can become a king. And this way is to make Jesus king.
Yes.
For he says, sons and daughters, give me your heart and I will make you king. I will give you a kingdom. Wasn't it that he said? Sure. And we see that Jesus is coming as king of what? Kings. You know, I thought that Jesus was coming as king of those kings out there. They'll be all dead. They'll lose their throne before he gets here. Don't you see what I'm talking about? They are about to lose their thrones now, and they will lose their thrones before Jesus Christ gets here. So if he's coming as king of kings, then if you make him king, he's coming as your king. And he's going to make you king. This is why he says we will be priests and kings unto God. So he will be our king, king of kings, which we will be. Praise be to God. And that's the way to become a king, and is to make Jesus king. You see, when you say, thy kingdom come, you are praying to God that his kingdom may come in you. For you dare not pray for the second step until you pray for the first step. Don't you see? By the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told the brethren, he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So now, if I'm honest to myself, am I going to say, oh Jesus Christ, go down to the bar there and take over the bars, take over the theaters, take over the world, that bad world out there. Lord Jesus, just take over the bad world out there, and the good me isn't yet given over. Don't you see what I'm saying? I've got to submit me first. amen, to God before I can say, God, take over the world. Bless God. And so we turn to Haggai. And what verses did I say? From verse 6 to 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. Another scripture tells us that whatever is shaken will be removed. What's he talking about? Which heaven is going to be removed? Which heaven and which earth is going to pass away? Which heaven and which earth has sin dwelling in it right now? Do you know of any heaven that has sin in it? Yes. This is God's dwelling place. Therefore it is called heaven in the scriptures. For where Jesus is what? It is heaven there. And if Jesus is in me, then that's heaven there. So your spirit, soul, and body is the heaven of God, which is now sanctifying by his word and by his power and by his spirit. So you see, you are being sanctified to be an habitation of God. So when you walk down the street, it would be God and James. It would be God and Tom. It would not just be you alone, but it would be the Almighty God on the inside, the Almighty God on the outside, and you would be the Ark of the Covenant. In and out with gold line. There would be no flesh seen. Man would never see your flesh anymore, but your flesh would be completely under God, so that when you walk down the street, you will be able to say with Jesus, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me? Hallelujah. So then we are understanding a little more of what the coming of Jesus means. When we say, Jesus, come quickly, we are offering up ourselves as the habitation of God. Amen. Now, next verse. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Now, it's either that you're going to believe what I say now on this scripture, or you're going to reject the Bible as being not true. You know why? Because the former house that Brother Solomon built was the most glorious building that ever was built on the face of the earth, and no man can duplicate it. That building was plastered on the wall with gold. The walls were plastered with gold. Amen. The women got gold thread. I don't know how they did it, but they wove gold into cloth. Amen. I don't know, I think I heard that the Queen of England has a gold threaded robe. It's a special process where they can make gold pliable like thread and weave a cloth of gold. Amen. And these women wove gold and thread into the cloth. They had the candlestick was pure beaten gold. Big, lovely, precious, handmade beaten gold standing up there. The tables were covered with gold. And there were golden vessels. There was the cherubims, pure gold. There was the ark, gold inside and outside. And when we talk about that gold, we meant it was the full, 24 carat gold. It wasn't a 14 carat or a 16 or 18 carat gold, but it was the full real thing. Now, when they made the bricks, like how you have your cement blocks. But we have the cement blocks with straight holes down through them, and the holes correspond to holes, so you could have a straight hole down. But these blocks were made with holes, a pattern of holes through them, so that they boil the gold in molten form and pour it down into these holes. And the gold tied the whole building together. Amen. And this was the basic reason why the temple was dug down stone by stone, for people were looking for gold. See what I mean? So we find that the former house was this glorious, was made glorious, was constructed glorious. And more than that, the Almighty God came down at certain times in that house and talked face to face with Solomon. So that was glorious house. But why did they do all that? Do you know why? Just for you, to show you what your house will be like. That the Almighty God will come down into your house, and he will not only talk with you and walk with you and walk in you and talk in you, but he'll get comfortable in you. Is God comfortable in you? Make him comfortable. Do anything he wants you to do and make him comfortable. For when he gets comfortable in you, you are going to get comfortable in him. See? And so the house, when Nehemiah went to build that house, he thought that his house that he was building was the latter house. And there was a great disappointment when they finished building it, that it wasn't as glorious as Solomon's house. And ever since then, men have been building temples and building churches. And I saw a church building somewhere in Pasadena, and the roof cost of how much? $1 million. And they are trying to make it glorious, but it won't be. Therefore, you are this latter house that God is creating. And the adornment that Solomon put in the ark, in the temple, are the adornment that God is putting in you. Just for a little, let me talk about this adornment. There was one candlestick in the temple, in the tabernacle of Moses. There were 10 candlesticks in Solomon's. He stretched candlestick all the way across. Bar your way, you couldn't pass that candlestick. You've got to get between two of them somehow. You know why? Because the symbolism of the candlestick was to be multiplied in you. You should become a temple with such an anointing of the Holy Ghost and such light and such glory that he had to multiply 10 times. Hallelujah. When it came to the cherubims and the Ark of the Covenant, two little fellows standing on the corners of the Ark, about this, I don't think they could be 18 inches tall. You see, they stand there and touch their wings. Solomon made two big massive images standing up to the roof and stretching their wings from one wall to the other. Hallelujah. Why did he do it? Because he overshadowed. There are some brethren teaching overshadowing doctrine to you that man must overshadow woman. Don't let them do it. Don't let them overshadow you. Amen. Because you have an overshadowing that is mightier than anything that human being has ever seen since the beginning of time. And this is what God is bringing forth in the body. Yes, this mighty image of gold standing up here had to cast a long shadow down to the back of the room when the light was put behind it. This was the overshadowing that the man Solomon saw, that God showed him to multiply the overshadowing, because you would be that ark and God would be your covering. And then the God who is your covering is also your husband, so you would become pregnant with life. Even as the ark had a dry stick that the man was going round with as his rod of our touch and his walking stick. Amen. And he put that dry stick inside of the ark and it brought forth life. Even so, God is bringing forth a new nature and a new life within you through the overshadowing. No overshadowing, no life. Understand it. And then he said in another scripture that in that day the cloud would come back to the tabernacle. The pillar of cloud. You remember that? That the children of Israel traveling through a desert, I think, brethren, they were a massive crowd of people. Probably 3 million people. And can you imagine 3 million people being covered by a cloud? Can you imagine 3 million people have an umbrella walking with them? Sheltering them from the midday sun in the desert. Those of you who live out in the desert, you know what I'm talking about. Sun would kill all the animals if God wasn't covering them. And so when you read that he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret, under his wings, he will hide me. Psalm 91, it means that God is saying that the hour is upon us when God shall cover the body of Christ, and when you shall as a mighty army go forth with an anointing that the earth has never seen before. This is what we're talking about. Now, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians 1 and from the 6th to the 10th verse. And here we see the amazing truth unfolding itself. We're talking about the coming of Jesus Christ to his temple. And you want to be sure that this is not a man's doctrine you are taking up, but that you are getting the truth, and that this truth is Christ himself. 2 Thessalonians 1. Now, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What did I say? Here we see that the day of the Lord with the fire and the judgment comes in tied, is tied in with the coming of Jesus Christ inside of his saints. I want you to see that. Jesus is coming inside of his saints, and simultaneously they are the fire and the earth. Is that what it said? Amen. Now, let's read some more. We read Peter, 2 Peter 3. And we can read from 1 to 10. Second Peter 3. 1 to 10. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind, by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now we are identifying the time when this is going to happen. That in the last days there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now look here, brethren. Ordinary scoffers don't speak about the coming of Jesus. Ordinary sinners don't. We are talking about Christian scoffers. You understand? The average sinner out there isn't concerned about the coming of Jesus. He doesn't believe. He's an unbeliever. But there is a special type of scoffers, God me, that will be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now we are going way back. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Remember now, he's talking about the coming of Jesus. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What's he talking about now? Why did he say that, brethren? You know why he said that? He said that because he wanted you to know that in, as Rick explained last night, in the dispensation, in the days, 7 days in which God created and rested, that in the millennial setting, it is 7,000 years in which he will do the same thing. He will bring forth this within you and within our realm. Follow me? So that on the fourth day, he created light, fifth day life, And the 4,000 years Jesus came, and the 5,000 years he gave his life and resurrected and brought forth life in the earth. Follow me? On the 6,000 year he created, he made beast first in the morning and man in the evening. And in the 6,000 year in which we are now, God is making, allowing the beast to come forth in the earth, and the man will come forth also. This is what Peter said. That's what he meant. He was saying that it happened down there, and in a certain dispensation, in a certain 1,000 year period there, a man named Noah built an ark, and floods overflowed the earth. And he was talking of the dispensations as they happened in the natural, that are going to happen again in our time in the spiritual, bringing forth the purpose of Almighty God. Now, all right, where was I now? 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. All right, now let's hear what Brother Peter says about it, because he says it's not now this great day that everybody's looking for, when all the sinners will see and hear. It is as a thief in the night. I'm going to prove that to you from Jesus saying the same thing. Good. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Remember, we just read in 2 Thessalonians about the great destruction and the punishment upon the sinners when the Son of God comes forth in you. And here it is again, shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, I want you to see this, brethren, that when he talks about the heavens passing away, what does he mean? Does he mean that all those stars up there are going to fall upon the earth and burn up the earth? He has got to mean something else. For one of those stars fall here, and that is it. You remember Brother Eby was talking about the stars, how big they are. We're just a little speck in comparison to those things up there. So if you believe that the stars are going to fall on the earth, you are going up a wrong track of understanding. What is going to fall on the earth here as stars is the men who are sons of God, who are now falling. This is the great falling of the stars that we are seeing. All the mighty men of God seem to be falling and toppling over. And this for a reason. But there's something else here. It says that the heavens will pass away. And one scripture said the heavens will be shaken, and this one said it will pass away. Why is it going to pass away? Because God's not pleased with the condition. You see, your heaven, your spirit, your soul, and your body is now occupied by Jesus, but not by Jesus only. Sad to say that some devils still have some power there. Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Could you say that? Could you fairly say that? No. Now this is what he's talking about. this condition where God and the devil is dwelling in the same human being is going to cease. Must pass away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he will create new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. I'm quoting from Revelation. Good. Now, let's go on. I want to, you know, get on. Now, we take here Malachi 3 and 1 to 5. Malachi 3, 1 to 5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, because behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Amen. And he shall sit as a refiner of and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Let's go on. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. What are we talking about? The Levites. Remember the tabernacle Brother E.B. drew here this morning. It showed one section to be the Levite section. Hallelujah. And he said that the Levites were young children of God. They were sons but not huios. See. And so we can understand from this explanation what God is saying here. Are you with me? You're slipping away. Come back. That God is first going to purify the church. That Jesus must first come into the church as a thief in the night. While there is night and darkness around, Jesus is going to creep in into the church. But after that, he's going to judge the sorcerers. So you are going to become the judgment of the world. Amen. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and let's just scan over the situation as Jesus put it. Verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Oh, go ye out to meet him. Bang. When is Jesus coming? When is Jesus coming?
Midnight.
At midnight. Hallelujah. Don't you see it? Midnight is the time in the earth when it gets the darkest. When the darkness descends so dark If you think it's dark now, then wait a little bit and you will see how dark it can get. Because at the hour when we think that it is so dark that we don't know if we will be able to survive, that's the time when Jesus will come within us and give us power. Amen. Let everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Now, let's go on with a few more scriptures. Bearing out the same thought, we take a scripture here in Micah. I think it's Micah. I want to read that one, because it has a little difference here which gives me a word I want to show you here. What is it now? Micah chapter 5. Praise God. I might come back to it. It comes to me, but it's slipping me right.
4:6.
What it says there in 4:6.
In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her?
No, no.
1:2.
Praise God. Okay. We'll leave that out for the time being. Since we can't find it now, it means we don't need it. So, let's go on. Now, Matthew chapter 24. I said I would show you where Jesus Christ said it. Matthew 24 and 29 to 30. It's still early, brethren. Fear not. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 24, 29 to 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Do you know anybody who says that the church won't go through the tribulation? Well, show them this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Brother Till, what do you mean? What's that? The moon is a church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The sun would be the sons of God, the Zion company that come forth, have just come forth in the power of Jesus Christ. But God said they would be darkened. Why? Because they are following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And the Lamb was slain. And they also shall be slain. But why, God? We were just having things good. Why? Why do we have to be slain? Oh, I don't want to be a 144,000. I don't want to be of the Zion company, because I will be slain. Hallelujah. That's the thinking of a child. When you reach that height in the spirit, you long to make the final overcoming. Amen. This little wretched life here doesn't mean anything. Your life is swallowed up into the resurrection life, and you want the breakthrough. Hallelujah. And you have to give up this life to fully grasp the other one. So you follow the Lamb through death. But 3.5 days after that, and many people argue about the 3.5 days, whether it is natural days or not, but I am fully persuaded by the Spirit that it is natural days. But 3.5 days after the sons of God will rise up from the grave. We have a precedence. It happened before. Brother Lazarus was dead. Jesus heard that he was dead. Jesus deliberately waited for him to die. Deliberately waited for 3.5 days after he was dead. Then he went and resurrected him. Does that sound like you? It is the type of the Zion company, or the sons of God company, that will be resurrected after 3.5 days. Then, but that is the stone cut out of the mountain without hands that will smite Babylon. You don't think you're going to smite Babylon in your carnal body like this. You are going to smite Babylon after you have been perfected. And Babylon won't know what hit them. Praise God. Now let's go on reading this thing. Now that you understand that we can read with understanding. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You see, brethren, there are two false stars falling in the Bible. Two types. You can put all the stars that fall in the Bible in two types. One type is the Christians who have failed, fallen from their high position and fallen and become carnal earth people. The Bible said one star would fall in our time, and a burning lamp from heaven, and it would fall on the waters and the streams and the rivers, and it would make the waters bitter, that when men drink the waters they would die. Somebody told us today that they were making a Bible, hallelujah, to supersede our good Bible and give us one that is powerless and not the Word of God at all. That's what we mean by falling upon the rivers of water to make it bitter so that men could die. In that day, brothers, you will have to be the Bible for the world. You will be a walking, talking, living Bible that no man can tamper with. This is what God doing to you now. Then talk about the seal upon your forehead. Hallelujah. Amen. The vision last night that Brother Rick spoke about, that Sister Mavis had, with the three marks on the forehead, gold and green and
red.
Okay, crimson. The one party left out was that the man lifted up a scepter. And the scepter was gold and red and crimson. He lifted it up. We were praying about the meeting here. And the sign appeared on the forehead, and the scepter was raised up. Hallelujah. Meaning to say that God is going to seal you in your mind, and your power, your rulership will produce what you have in your mind. Will be produced in the people out there. The scepter, your authority from God. You see what I'm talking about? Now, so then, two types of stars falling. One type is a bad falling, and the other type is a good falling, which is the one we're reading about now. I'm going to prove it to you before the night is out. You do mind my proving these things to you from your Bible? Hallelujah. I hope you don't mind it, because you know it takes a little time. Now, yes, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Remember, we read about the heavens shaking. In every one of these scriptures, speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ, it speaks about the heavens shaking and being moved out of their places. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Where is he going to come? In the clouds of heaven. What are we talking about? Okay. I'm going to give you a scripture for that. You see, when Jesus was going up, what did the angel say? This same Jesus, which you see being taken from you, shall come again in like manner as he went away. Now, somebody thought that Jesus went away in a rain cloud. Now, come on now, spiritual people. What kind of cloud? What was it? Was it a real cloud? It was a cloud of witnesses that encompassed him and just he vanished into the other realm. That's what happened. It had to be spirit. Well, it says he is coming again now, not only in spirit, but in spiritual people. Where is Jesus now? Jesus is here? I don't see him. If Jesus is here, why is it I'm not seeing him? Somebody is hiding him. Ah, brothers, you are the cloud. It may be pretty dark clouds sometimes. We're covering up Jesus from the world. And this cloud is going to part. And when God said a veil rent, it's going to part. And Jesus is going to come out. And people will see Jesus in us. So if you understand the language in which the scripture is coached, every word God says, he gives a scripture somewhere else to prove it. Paul, speaking Hebrews chapter 12, says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Yes. Amen. Then another scripture says, behold, ye come with clouds. But another scripture said that he come with 10,000 of his saints. It didn't say clouds that time. So if you take the two scriptures and put them together, you see that clouds mean 10,000 of his saints. See where we are? So the coming of Jesus Christ within his temple is now. In other words, Jesus is now coming, not yet come, not yet arrived, but he's coming. And I want you to watch you. Don't watch me, because you won't know anything about what's going on inside. Watch you, and you'll notice that changes are taking place in the thought pattern. You notice that things that you count precious and dear in the past, you are dropping them off. Little things, it may be your tools, it may be your car that nobody could touch. You're not caring so much anymore. That the coming of Jesus is creeping up on you. That's what he's doing. He's creeping up on you, and you are not even noticing that Jesus Christ is coming forth in your consciousness. Because he has got to reach to a point where he can make a last rush and come suddenly. He said he shall suddenly come to his temple. You see what I'm talking about? So there are, your mind is being put in a condition. your emotions are relaxing of the carnal, of the natural that we used to count so precious and so dear to us. This is why you are able to come to a meeting like this and sit down and listen to things like this, because there is something happening inside of you. It's so subtle that you are not even noticing that there is a progress going on there. But Jesus is coming in his temple. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, let's see something here now. Again, we get the, when is this going to be? We know he is coming, but let us read some more and see if we can really understand more about this coming. Acts 3. Let's read Acts 3:20-21. Praise God. Now, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Do you know why Paul had to say which before was preached unto you? Come on now. Bright ones, bright students, come tell me, why did Paul have to say the same Jesus that was preached unto you? Why didn't he just say, and he shall send Jesus Christ? Huh? Yes, but there is not, are we not talking about the false ones now? You see, there are some people now who are preaching that the Jesus that I just finished preach that is going to come into your temple, that's the only Jesus that's going to come down here. So Paul had to teach now that Jesus Christ, the same one that I preach unto you. You don't understand? Because somebody was thinking that they are preaching now that the body of Christ is Christ, and that's the only Christ. But Christ has multiplied, he has got children. But the real Christ is not dead. The man named Jesus Christ is still alive. Glory to God. He's still alive. And I tell you more, he's got a body just like yours. And yours is going to be like his. The only difference now with Jesus sitting here, because Jesus is in this gathering, the only difference now with Jesus sitting here and you sitting here is that your body is on a slow frequency that I can see with my carnal eyes. And Jesus' body is in a faster frequency and we can't see. But he's right here in our midst. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So you see, he said he will send that Jesus. Amen. Not because I preach to you that Jesus is coming inside of you, why you should abolish Jesus coming outside there to show himself to the world. This is the reason Paul put it plainly, whom the heavens must hold until the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So Jesus Christ, the same body of Mary's son, is coming to stand on the earth and be with us as our head when we have regained the kingdom. We are the army. We're going out to fight. And when the battle is over, our king will come riding in. You see that? You ask me, Brother Josephus, where else? Because I hear you, you know. Where else in the Bible? Could you give me another scripture back that up? So turn to Revelation then. And you're pretty lucky tonight. It's the first time going into Revelation. You know, I'm a Revelation man, you know. Now we turn to Revelation 11. And the order of the things here, we see two witnesses battling the whole world. And God said, and I will give power. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. Now these two witnesses are not two men. Anybody here know two men who said they are the two witnesses? You know two. Oh man. Well, I know about six. Three sets. You know one set. Okay. Well, I was telling Rick last night, I wish I could get those six men into one meeting and just leave them alone to decide which is the two witnesses. Now, I was involved with this, these two witnesses' business. I was sitting down one afternoon, had a supernatural experience, reading my Bible, when somebody came right up before me and says, do you know that your name is in the Bible? And I immediately pulled into my shell and pretended to be an idiot. Now, I don't know where I got it that I can deceive spirits, but that's what happened. So I said, oh, wonderful. I said, show me. I want to see. I knew if I had shown anything, you'd be rebuked and get away from me. I wanted to see what the old devil was saying. He turned me over to Revelation 11, and right across here, I shall give power to my two witnesses. He said, you are one of those. Something got up in me, and I said, you're a liar. You know, it just rose up in me. I felt angry that the devil thought he could, you know, fool me with that stupidness. And he fled. Well, after I said he was a liar, I found out how empty I was, because I didn't know what the two witnesses were. I only knew he was a liar, but I didn't know the truth. And you know what God did? He left me dangling there for 5 years. Left me dangling there, and every now and then that old devil come back and say, I tell you. You see, because great miracles used to happen in my meeting, you know, and people used to fall out. Let me tell you something, brethren. I learned a lot about that falling out doctrine and falling out business. Yes, sir. I look at a girl over in the back there, and my whole heart and soul went out to her. I said, Jesus, save her. The girl got up, literally flew to the altar, dropped drum right before her. Huh? Said, power. It didn't profit much. That's what I desired, because I desired it so badly in the spirit. It was done. And it was done. I see people drop, old benches of people fall down there, lay down dead. When they get up, hardly anything done to them. Many got knocked out. That's all they got. But I don't want to get on that tonight. But I want you to know that the minister can desire, and whatsoever he desires, he can have it. If he desires for people to be knocked down, he can have it. If he desires for people's understanding to be opened, he can have it. If he desires for people to be blessed, he can have it. See what I'm talking about? That's what happens. So, here we are. These two witnesses now, he was trying to deceive me. God left me with him. One day, I was minding my own business, and a Lord came to me. He said, you remember that question you've been asking about, the two witnesses? I said, yes, Lord, what are they? He said, it is the Spirit and the Word. I said, oh, no, God, how could the Spirit and the Word drop dead in the streets? He said, you can become both the Spirit and the Word to the world. The world cannot see the Spirit of God, but they can see the Spirit manifesting through you. They cannot see the Word of God. They don't read their Bible, but you can be a living, walking Bible that lead men to God. And then he turned me to the 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and I saw Jesus Christ explaining that he is the Father, and the Father is in him, and that he is the Word of God in John chapter 1, and that finished my argument. Amen. Now, then we see this Spirit and this Word giving their lives, being slain. And then we see verse 11, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life entered into them. They stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon all them that saw them. Then in verse 12 we saw, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. They were lifted up into rulership, kings and priests with God. And then in verse 13, the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. That is the government. The tenth part of the city is the government. You know that, don't you? Ten is the number of government, right? And he said the tenth part of the city fell. It means that the sons of God took over the rulership of the world, the government. And 7,000 people were killed. And that seven refers to perfection. Or the full number, or the perfect number that God has ordained in the scriptures. You'd have to go read the scriptures to say that, to, which tells you who will be killed when the sons of God come forth. Who will be killed? Come on now. All them that have the mark of the beast, or his number, or his name, will be slain. Because they can't be saved. That's who will be killed. You follow me? Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. And so you see that it wasn't so bad after all to be in the 144,000, or the elite of God, the elect of God, because you will come forth as the first fruits. You will be resurrected before the rest of the people. Now let me prove that to you, and then I think I could quit, you know. Chapter 14 and verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. That means to say, you didn't give way to the church. The churches that were wooing you. You didn't give way to them. You were not defiled. You didn't become pregnant with church doctrine and church sin. For they are virgins. These were they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. To the Lamb, to the Lamb. Mean to say you went through resurrection, death and resurrection. Let me just close up with this one thought about the Lamb. Brethren, you know that when Jesus died, many people didn't believe. Up to now, the Jews said that his disciples stole him away and that he never resurrected. Have you ever heard that? Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus deliberately did it that they would say, and he never corrected them. You know why? Jesus Christ showed himself to 500 brethren one time. And he never showed himself to one sinner after his resurrection. Do you know why? Because he wasn't ready to take over the world yet. But you, when you are resurrected, you're going to walk down the street and walk up the courthouse and call a big cab meeting. And let them see you. And Bible says fear fell upon them. So bless God that the messenger of the covenant will suddenly come to his temple, and that he is coming now in you, and that one day after you have come forth and taken over the kingdom in the battle of Armageddon, which will be a battle where the sons of God speak the word of God through their mouth, and the sword of God go forth among the enemy, and there will be burning and fire and purification through the whole earth, and every institution that oppressed man will catch on fire. Every devil thing, every satanic movement, every devil made thing will be destroyed in the earth, for the earth will be purified, and only that which is of God shall remain. Hallelujah! Can you understand? Bless God Almighty. How else could we purify the earth but by fire? He said, I promise you that rainbow you see coming over there. It says that I won't do it by water anymore, but by fire. Fire is going to be lighted on the whole face of the earth at the same time. All the guns will burn up, all the ammunition, all the weaponry will burn, and we'll take them and use them to make plowshares and peaceful instruments. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if anybody has any trouble with this word, please, let's talk about it now. And if you don't have trouble with it and you have something to say, then say it. Yes, brother.
Malachi, could you explain, I didn't hear you explain what the messenger was. Behold, I send my messenger who shall prepare a way before me. Suddenly shall come to the temple of the Lord.
I did not explain that. Well, the messenger that Malachi talked about was John the Baptist. But the messenger of the spirit world now, of our time, that is coming forth, is the sons of God, who God now has given this message to his people as a preparation for the coming forth of the man child in you. Yes, brother.
Where is he? Said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white. How they compare over here with thee, holding back and hurt not those that have the seal of God as many before them. So those are, as the angels are holding back, these 144,000 sealed, they do not come through tribulation, do they? I mean, they're not certain of tribulation.
No, but they come through it. You see, in other words, those there, if you see, they were standing before the throne of God. Those you read with white robes, you see. They were people who were slain.
They didn't have the seal.
They didn't have the seal that those 144,000 have. If you check the Bible, there are many seals. You have the seal of the Holy Ghost. You have the seal of the living God, which is that one. Yes.
When this begins to take place, the four angels hold back, then they pour out the wrath, which is the tribulation.
Yes.
So there are these two that are alive at that time.
Yes.
If part of them have the seal, part of them don't.
There are the church, the woman is going to be protected. She will have a seal, but not that seal in that first part of Revelation that was only prepared for the elect, for the 144,000, or what you call the, one scripture called them the elect, or the Zion covenant, whatever you call
it. But you're saying that there's two types of Christians.
Oh, yeah. We saw it last night plainly on the board. You see, that people will be in different realms, you see. The outer court is prepared of God unto fire. In other words, God cannot protect the outer court Christian. Did you know that? Okay. Well, it's very simple. Very simple. The outer court Christian is a Christian who is yet susceptible to sin and not yet baptized into Christ. All right, let's see if we can put it the right way. Sanctification is one work in the outer court. And it's by death. That death prevents the other death. So you have to die two deaths in the outer court. The first death is death to sin. You see? And the second death is death to self. Now, if a brother or a sister or a group of brethren are functioning under self, that is, we have our big program and we are going through with our big program, we are not listening to God. We don't want to hear Him. How is God going to protect us? You see what I mean? This is the problem. A disobedient person cannot be protected. But at that time, every obedient person will go into the holy place. Every obedient person, God will light a fire out in the outer court that will drive everybody into the holy place. You see what I'm talking about? When I talk about light a fire, I mean there's going to be such trouble out there that people who didn't even believe in the Holy Ghost is going to receive it.
The Lord showed me something different. I see the glory of the Lord being revealed in His saints, and I see the Shekinah glory of God that will consume the unrighteous. Because it says that God is a consuming fire, and it says when He shall come to be revealed in them, and I see the fire of the righteous burning the unrighteous. The transfiguration of the Lord, He says, there's some of you standing here that will not die till you see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And He was transfigured before them. And it says that He shone like the sun. And I see this fire consuming the unrighteous.
I don't even see where it disagrees. Forgive me. I don't see where it disagrees with what I was saying.
Natural weapon that
would
destroy you.
No. I said the weapon will come out of your mouth. No. I couldn't see the disagreement. It's the glory of God coming out of you that will destroy the unrighteous and the weaponry of the enemy. Yes. Yes, brother.
Confirm what you said about the Holy Spirit, the fire driving people into the Holy Spirit. I heard a missionary from Russia who's involved in the work over there say that over there they don't even ask someone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because every believer who comes to salvation partakes of that immediately to prepare them for the troubles they're going through. At the very initial part of tribulation, when it's hit over there, the ones who were, going on with the Lord all fell away. And now all those that are going on with the Lord, they're all acquainted with that and filled with the Holy Spirit, like our brother saw this morning. But there's not a group of Christians over there who are, just in the outer court. In other words, all the ones in the outer court either fell away or got into the Holy Place.
Yes, that's true. Or died. Either fell away, got into the Holy Place, or got killed. You see, that's what happened in China. That's what happened all over. See, you either obey the Lord or you get killed. This brother, Andrew, brother Andrew from the Dutchman. Well, we met one of his men just coming out of Russia, and this man told us such a tale. He said that you had to live by the Holy Ghost every step. He said he was in a bus station waiting for a bus. A man crept up behind him and suddenly grabbed him and said, what's your business? And he said, he just calmly said, I'm in the passport business. And he was so convincing that it took the man aback. He took away the initiative from the man and had the man begging him secretly to prepare him a passport. He was getting people off to heaven. But he said he didn't know where it came from. He never thought of it. The Holy Ghost just came out of him. I'm in the passport business. And so he said another time he's going down the street. God tell him jump in a bus. He jumped in the bus. God tell him get out of the bus. He got out of the bus. God tell him get into that house. He went into the house, opened the door, went right in and sat down. And the man of the house saw him, just tell him how they do, pass up and down their business, didn't notice. See, people in Russia used to this sort of thing. Then he said, all of a sudden the door opened, another person come in, sit down. And he said, before long the whole place was filled. He has to wait on God now to tell him what to say and when to say it, because a Secret Service man might be there. So the door opened and two young boys came in and sat down. And the Lord said, go right ahead. Now he preach. You open his Bible and preach to them. After he preached to them, generally you take off, you know. As you finish preach, you get out, jump on a bus, go around the block twice and get up. So he, instead of going out, the Lord told him to speak to the two boys. So he said to the two boys, how did you get here? They said it was the weirdest thing that ever happened to them. They were riding down the street after they accepted the Lord, you know. They were riding down the street. They heard a voice clearly say to both of them, turn right. So they turned right. Said, did you hear that? I said, yes, I heard it. Who was it? I said, let's see what happened. They go down the street. But things said, turn left. They said, let's go. They went down the street. The thing said, go into that house. They parked their bike and went into the house. And that's how it happened. So you see, there is a people who are being led of the Spirit. And the one of our chief problems is that we have too much other things to be involved with than the Spirit of God. But the hour is coming when tribulation will drive us right into the Holy of Holies. You believe me? So God bless you in Jesus' name. Yeah.
What's the type of the ark with the three levels as compared to the tabernacle with
the three, but the outer
court
of the
part
where the dirty animals,
the unclean animals, it
stayed
in
the
protection.
Amen. Well, the question is, what's the analogy or the meaning or the type of the ark with the three levels? One level had in all these dirty animals and the other level, you know, had human beings, and the other level was for the birds. You know, they flew out of the top. Well, the three levels of the ark, one, the bottom level was God the Father, the part that floats us and keeps us all going. And God the Son was the second level, and God the Holy Ghost with the window was the third level. The first level had the seal. That was the distinctive quality, the seal of the living God. The second level had the door, Jesus Christ, I am the door. The third level had the window open up to heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, if you notice that the part that represents God the Father is the part that having all these beasts and animals in it. But they were all inside there. And you ask yourself the question, why is that part God? You see, God has some
some wretched children. Amen. And I think that's the answer. The thief on the cross spent all his life killing people, robbing people, doing everything that is bad. And all of a sudden he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And God just said, come, take him in. With all his muck, everything just as he is, God will clean him up. He said, yes, brother.
I'd like to say this before, because that I can't help but feel like this is the way I feel.
Amen.
That we see over here, it says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge the men? He's under the altar. And the white robes were given unto them. They said, just a little while until thy brethren are going to be killed.
Yes.
The tribulation, to me, is not the wrath.
Is not what?
The wrath.
No, I agree with you.
Tribulation is taking place, and these